This is the Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast, covering everything from technology and gaming
to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Hello, all. This is the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne. And you know what? I'm not afraid of no ghosts, because to me, they're not anything harmful. But what about the not-so-good ones? I bring this up because Halloween is near, which means the veil is thinning. And who better to talk about the supernatural than a psychic? So with us today is a renowned psychic, Lisa Kazza. Thank you for joining me, Lisa.
I have a few questions for you, and I really wanted to know about, you know, your experience about being a psychic. When did you learn that you had these abilities?
It's quite the common story. I was quite the young child, actually. I'd have to say about 5-6 years old. You know, I was seeing things and hearing things that nobody else were seeing or hearing or feeling. And so, you know, I even had recollections of a past life and tried to talk about it. But with my family, they pretty much just shut me down. They didn't believe me a word that I was saying. So as a result of that, my abilities did tend to get dampened down quite a bit because they, like I said, they shut me down. Social conditioning does that to children. But once I got into my teens, that's when things started to amplify once more. And it just blossomed from there.
You said that you could hear people and other people that you obviously couldn't see, and that you had flashbacks of a previous life. You know, I've heard about all kinds of stuff like that, and you hear like clairvoyance and mediums. Are there different types of psychics?
Yes, and that actually brings me to the point where I actually don't like calling myself a psychic because it's such a broad term. And when people hear the word psychic, they automatically assume that, for example, I can give mediumship readings on the spot, like literally right there. I'm another Teresa Caputo or something. But that's not the case. There are different abilities and different levels of the different abilities. So, for example, for myself, I'm, you know, clairvoyant, clairaudient and clairsentient, which means clear seeing, hearing, and feeling. Those are the top three of my abilities. Then there's, you know, the mediumship where you speak directly one-on-one with spirits, which I tend to do only very occasionally because it just drains the heck out of me. It's a very, very tough, tiring ability to have. But there's also other abilities such as animal communicators, which I do also perform. I tend to use it a lot when I'm working with my horses. There are different abilities. So for folks that are interested in seeing a psychic, just keep that in mind that there are different abilities, and just because someone is psychic doesn't mean that they're a medium. Or vice versa, for that matter. So a lot of mediums can't help predict the future.
You said that you could see, feel, and kind of sense things. Can you tell if other people are psychic?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And some people are so strong that it's the first thing that I have to tell them. I wouldn't be able to move forward. And it's all about energy, energy vibration. And it's actually, everybody can feel energy. You can feel energy. For example, I'll do a little bit of a test here for you and for the listeners. You speaking to me right now, what can you tell me about my mood for today or how I am as a person?
Just speaking to you, you kind of sound, tired maybe? Or I don't know.
Well, I am tired, so I'll give you that. But you tune into a person's energy almost immediately. Everybody can do that. It's just that persons like myself, for example, can do it to the point where, because I do a lot of email readings, so So a lot of people go, oh, my God, how can you do readings through email? You're not even in person. You're not even talking to the person on the phone. And I go, it's all about the energy vibration. If you're typing something, your energy goes into that typing.
You know, you were saying that even people who may not be, like, I guess, perfect or can do this psychic or like medium or clairvoyancy. But do you think it has to do with the time of the year that maybe people are more attuned, or, you know, is it a time during their life?
I'm going to have to say both.
Oh, okay.
Like, there are particular periods. Well, case in point, Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, there you see so many, for example, paranormal investigating groups going out, and people actually going to these investigations as guests to get their own experience. So there, you know, a lot of tours going on. What happens during the Halloween is that, well, as a lot of practitioners call it, the thinning of the veil is what it's called. But it's just basically energy vibrational frequency where it's so much higher because people are more open to receiving such an experience. They're more open to the idea.
Right.
Whereas any other time of the year, they, you know, the highest of skeptics probably wouldn't give it the time of day. So that's
true.
Just one example. Another example could be the phases of the moon. Could most certainly affect some individuals. They could be more open to receiving messages and things of that nature. And with life in general, there are times where you can get so extremely bogged down that you won't receive a darn thing.
That's true. I mean, I do think of, like, something my grandmother used to say is that watch out for the full moon, because that's when people start acting a little nutty, you know, don't go out.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I tend to not even bother looking at the full moon, just because of that. But for the most part, the full moon is supposed to be very positive.
Yeah, I've heard that too, that the moon is supposed to be positive, and that's why I'm like, you know, Grandma, why do you have to watch out for the crazies on the full moon? And, you know.
Yeah, well, it's been my experience, though, that the crazies, they're greatly outnumbered by the good.
It's true. So, I think so, too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, how do you think you should protect yourself from negative energies or entities during times when, you know, everybody's a little bit more heightened?
Well, I'm going to state the most obvious. Don't go looking for it. it's just like, you know, having a relationship. If you don't want to get a disease or something, don't put yourself in the position to possibly get it.
Right? Yeah, that's good advice.
Right. But of course there are instances where it just finds us regardless of where we are. Like for me, for example, I have spirits in my home every once in a while. Or, you know, or people who just can't ignore that urge to, you know, to go on these ghost hunting tours. There are things that you can do. I, for myself personally, I do a couple of different things. The first thing before I enter any haunted premises is I smudge myself with burning sage.
Burning
my entire body, I smudge myself. And as an added protection, this is something that I've done for myself. I don't think anybody else really does it, is I actually add dried cedar leaves to the sage. And the dried cedar, it actually comes from my native tradition, where the cedar is to bring in more divine energy, of pure love energy. So that's the first thing to do, because it not only cleanses you, but it also put something of a protection barrier around your aura. With that being said, another thing to do, and this is for the more visual and spiritual people amongst us, is to do a visit. Again, I still can't talk today. A visualization of protection. So what I do is I visualize, and it's like an energized bubble surrounding my entire body. And it looks like it's full of electricity. It's an energized bubble of pink and green light, actually. And what it does, it deflects all negative energy away from you. So that's the second thing I do. The third thing I do, and it's, you know, pretty much I have it on all the time anyways, is I wear certain gemstones. And a lot of gemstones have different properties for different things. And the one that I use the most is hematite.
Hematite
is a very grounding and protective gemstone. But there are other more common gemstones that you can use. You can either carry them or wear them in jewelry. And that's actually what I do. For the more spiritually inclined people, if you know your animal totem, get a necklace or a pendant that is representative of your animal totem that's made with the gemstone of your choice. But specifically for, you know, spirit protection, I highly recommend, the most effective would be the hematite, as I said, black tourmaline or black obsidian. Those three are the most effective to help you stay protected. The other thing you can do is just do a lot of prayers and meditation, invoke protective spirits and guides and angels. Archangel Michael is the angel of protection, and he can surround you with his light as well.
You know, I've always heard about sage, and, you know, why sage? Why not, like, you know, some other flower or herb out there? I never understood why particularly sage was there to protect people. Like, how does it work, or why does it work?
It actually isn't that well understood, even with, you know, some, you know, people that frequently do paranormal investigations and home cleansings and things of that nature. It's still not fully understood why it is so effective, other than it is very effective. One theory is that the spirits just are very repelled by the smell of this burning sage.
Mm-hmm.
I personally love the smell because it's highly spiritual. I enjoy it very, very much, especially when I add the cedar to it. I feel like I'm connected with the Creator one-on-one in those moments. There isn't that much understanding yet, anyways, why sage is, in fact, so effective.
You know, you also said you can call upon the Archangel Michael. And, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. You know, if I was to call on the Archangel Michael, would it work still? Or do I have to be more religious for that to work? Or
it doesn't matter. That's one thing that a lot of people have, this very limiting belief that you have to be Christian, or you have to be Catholic or Jewish or whatever to call upon certain ascended masters or angels. And that's not the case. You can be Wiccan, for all that matter, and still call upon Archangel Michael. They don't discriminate. And that's one huge lesson that mankind should really be paying attention to. There's so much discrimination and all this jazz that's going around right now in the world, that really we're supposed to be, we're images of divine.
Right.
Just like Archangel Michael and other spirit and guides and things like that. And we're supposed to be mirroring them because we are all one.
Right.
So we're actually in the world today, and, you know, that limiting belief that I just said, and the behaviors of today, it's going against our own nature. So there's no reason why anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, what path you follow, all paths lead to the same end anyways, and they will help you. It doesn't matter who you are. You just call upon them and they'll be there.
Oh, that was beautifully said. That's kind of, I've heard other people tell me that too, and that was well said.
Well, thank you.
You know, from your experience of being a medium, what do you remember? Like, is there something that sticks out to you the most, a memory of when you had to use your ability?
Of when I had to use my ability?
Yeah.
You mean like in an investigation?
Yeah, or investigation, or if you met a person, or it just kind of came to you. Like, what sticks out the most for you? Like,
well, there's quite a few, actually, but I'll give you two because they're opposing forces, so to speak. The first is my husband came to me. He kept bothering me, saying, you know, this poor lady, it was a client of his, cause he does a lot of landscaping, and he saw how sad she was, and, like, actually extremely depressed. She had lost something like 5 members of her family within something like 4 or 5 months.
Oh,
it was
no.
A horrible, horrible year for her.
Yeah.
And he said, Lisa, can you please go give her a reading? And the thing is, I don't like doing readings in my like I had mentioned off the air, I live in a very small town. Word gets around, and I'm a very private person as well.
Right.
So I tend to keep to myself. I'll do readings outside of town, but not right in town. I was very strict about that. But he got upset with me. Make a long story short. And so I said, okay, fine, I'll go. But you're coming with me. So we went, and it was a week later. But throughout that week, I kept getting this image, and I couldn't figure it out, this image in my mind of all things, a decorative egg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, you know, those ceramic decorative eggs? Yeah. So I just kept it there, and I go, the only thing I can think of, it's got to be for this woman that I'm seeing.
Okay.
So we got there, and I sat down, and I said, well, the very first thing, I got to get this out of the way because it's been bothering me all week. So do you have a decorative egg that I feel is most likely given to you by your mother? She broke down in tears.
Aww.
And she went into her bedroom. She comes back out and she showed me this egg. She was,
wow.
How in the hell did you know that?
Wow.
And, but, so I was there for about 3 hours. And, you know, I receiving the messages, giving them to her. And the thing is, this is what makes me stay in quote unquote the business, is seeing someone being truly uplifted out of such a depressive state and into finally one of acceptance and peace.
Right.
And the energy just totally shifted in the room. It was
Aww.
Just the most, my husband sat there and he was holding back tears.
Yeah.
And it made a huge impact on him too, because up until that point, he didn't really see me in action or knew what I really did, but he saw that and it forever changed him.
Right.
As a result. But that's why I stay in the business, to give people that healing that they need. And I'm so glad that I went for her, because, you know, like I said, she lost something. It was like 5 people. It is too many, way too many. And so, but I just saw literally a transformation in her. Immediately, but then, you know, 2 days later, she's even 100 times more uplifted. She just absolutely no baggage anymore whatsoever.
Well, that's wonderful.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
But then, so the other opposing one, and this one really freaked me out, was I got called in because these people had this haunting in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know who it was, what was going on, but they were getting concerned. So I went, and me, like, I've never really come face-to-face, if you want to call it that, face-to-face, with any sort of evil spirits. Mm-hmm. I've never really had that experience in my years. So I wasn't expecting too much of anything other than the typical spirit who's lost or lonely or just needs to get their story heard, because that's usually why spirits hang around to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the home, and oh my goodness, I just got bowled over with this energy of anger and hate.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, oh, I don't like this at all. And not too much scares me.
Yeah.
This scared me.
Oh, wow. Oh,
but
geez.
It's something I'd never experienced before. That's why. But to make a long story short, I finally got to the bottom of it. It was a man, just a regular spirit.
Okay.
But what had happened was, in life, two things were going on. One, he had schizophrenia.
Oh, jeez.
So that, of course, that would freak me out, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But there was also a lot of, unfortunately, domestic violence in his life. He was a woman beater.
Oh, jeez.
And the reason why I bring this up mainly is because I'm not exactly sure if I even handled it correctly.
Really?
Just mainly because I have a lot of hate and anger at the time myself, because I was in an abusive marriage for 14 years.
Oh, so it hit kind of close to home, huh?
Exactly, right. Exactly. That's why I brought this particular experience up. It really sticks out, you know. And so I was yelling at him and cursing at him and the whole nine yards. But in the end, all he wanted was forgiveness.
That's really all
he wanted. That's why he was hanging around. But the thing is, he was so scared to move on. He was scared that he was going to go to hell.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
And so once I calmed down and then actually heard what he was trying to tell everybody in the home, like, realized too, because with schizophrenia and anger and control and domestic violence, well, the first thing the person does is they lash out in anger.
Correct, yeah.
So this is what he was doing as a spirit. And it was scaring the crap out of this family. But meanwhile, that's all he wanted was this forgiveness and this recognition and help. That's really all he wanted. So, I don't think I handled it too professionally at first there.
Yeah.
But, that's the main point of the story, though, is to let folks know that the majority of spirits that are amongst us right now, they're just like they were in life. They have their fears, they have their worries, they have their concerns. And so that's, I think, the other reason why I brought that last one up as well.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I enjoyed both stories. The last one kind of spooked me out a little bit, because I'd hate to be in that house with a schizophrenic ghost. So
I didn't like it myself. But once I got him to understand that he wasn't going to go to hell and all was forgiven, because that's all you have to do. If you ask for forgiveness, you're forgiven. But so once I got him to that point, he finally accepted it. He totally balanced out, and away he went. And then right away, the energy in the home just 360-degree shift.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. All about just wanting the recognition. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, have you ever had a case where you recognize them and you okay, I know you're here, I hear you, and they still don't leave?
Yes.
Ah.
But that's another thing too, is that people have to understand that even in, in life we have what's called free will. Well, spirits have the same thing. Nothing changes. So if they don't want to go, they're not going to go until they're ready. For whatever reason, because sometimes, spirits hang around just simply because they're comfortable where they are, or they are fearful of leaving family members. that kind of, or their home for that matter. So if they can be very stubborn, very defiant, until they get tired and ultimately decide to give up and go home.
Go to your new house, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Lisa. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I really liked the last two stories that you gave.
Well, I thank you so very much for having me. I enjoyed our conversation, too, and I look forward to possibly speaking with you again. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mason.
Thanks so much for joining, Lisa. For those out there that want to know more about Lisa, you can go to her website, lisacaza.com, or check out her own show at outerlimitsradio.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.